This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hey folks, the return we have all been waiting for is finally here. UFC's most notorious icon is stepping back into the octagon this Saturday. Be sure to check out DraftKings Sportsbooks, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, for a shot to turn $1 into $257.
That's right, Corey. New users can now bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by knockout in the first round. And if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. So you're betting a little, winning a lot. It's that simple.
While we are all excited for this weekend's premier UFC bout, let's not forget football is in the midst of their playoffs. So head to the app to check out the great playoff promotions now.
DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your easiest convenience.
Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to turn $1 into $257. If McGregor wins by first-round knockout, place your bet and watch the fist fly this weekend. That's code THPN for new players to get $257 if McGregor wins by a first-round knockout for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbooks. Must be 21 or older.
What is up, everybody? Mikey CLT here from Bar Down Breakdown, letting you know that our 100th episode is going to be dropping exclusively on the Hockey Podcast Network on January 27th. We will be joined by special guest Derek from the amazing pop punk band State Champs. Make sure you subscribe and follow us on all our socials so you do not miss any of our amazing episodes. We are so pumped that we have made it to episode 100. And to thank you, we are running an Instagram contest where one lucky winner can win a Steez brand snapback hat. So head over to our Instagram and enter our contest. Also, if you are just hearing about Bar Down Breakdown, make sure you go and check out our 99 other episodes where we have had artists who have been nominated for Grammys, all the way down to artists who are unsigned, where we dive into the crossover between alternative music and hockey. So make sure you go and check out Bar Down Breakdown wherever you listen to podcasts, brought to you exclusively by the Hockey Podcast Network.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Corey, aka Bayou Benders, alongside Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. Like, this episode should have definitely been recorded after that fucking ass kicking, but I've had a day to fucking really let that shit set in, and I'm okay with it. But like, there was so much more intensity yesterday watching that fucking game than today. Anyway, folks, let me just introduce my partner, Mason. How the fuck are you, bud?
I'm a little under the weather.
The weather.
I was pretty fucking hype last night when we won, and maybe my screaming is what caused my headache today, but no, like, I agree with what you're saying. Just fucking great things from the Habs, honestly.
Yeah, and before we get into that, I guess we'll just do our normal shit. I know you're not feeling well, and it could be from the screaming, but I can almost guarantee it's probably from drinking, only because
I didn't drink last night.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, look, let me just hip you to something that you did the previous recording. We were pretty fucked up, right? But you were slurping so bad during the fucking recording. I tried my best to edit it out, but you were just knocking back some fucking beers, dude.
Was I?
It was.
I don't even remember that recording.
It was a little bad. Like, sometimes, like, I slurp just to fuck with, like, my wife, because she just hates it, and, like, every now and then I'll just, like, throw one out there. But we're just recording, and it was just, like, it's just so subtle, but it was just, like, you know, with headphones on, like, I can just hear it, like, you're just breathing in, just taking a big old slurp.
Oh man, no, that was an episode. I didn't realize how long we were recording for. I haven't even gone back and listened to it yet. I'm gonna have to now.
But that's funny. But I guess another good thing about that is we got a 5-star rating the other day, and the guy left a comment, and it was a rather unusual one. I feel like this has more of I feel like it's a parody comment. If it is, that's fucking hilarious. If it's not, I'm so happy that we helped. But apparently this user, we won't say his name, but since listening has been able to get sober and has been listening since the beginning, and it's been helping him turn his life around. So kudos to you. If you're a real person, that is awesome, and we're glad to help. And if you're not, I feel like you're Elijah from Stick and Rink podcast, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm a little out of it today, but
that's okay. A little NyQuil. Oh, okay. What type of medicine do y'all have for like just not feeling good out there? Like, you guys, like, would you use like a NyQuil? Do y'all have that?
I don't really use NyQuil. Word. But y'all have NyQuil. It? Yeah, we have NyQuil. Like Buckley's if I have a cold. I don't really have a cold though. I just kind of like. Oh, have you had Buckley's?
No, but we talked about it before, and it's just legendary.
Oh, it is. It tastes so bad, it scares your body into getting better.
It's amazing. Like, I brought that up to Dave, and Dave was like, oh, that shit works. So, like, I'm just, like, dead set on getting some. Had to have as a novelty. I'm a bit afraid to try it.
Oh, it tastes bad. They even have pill forms, and they taste bad, too.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great.
Well, with you not feeling good, let's just kind of put you in a better place. We'll just get to a little bit of Habs news. So before we get into, people losing their minds on Twitter today about the taxi squad, let's just address a little thing called the PLD rumors that are just getting astronomically more ignorant every day.
Yeah. Well, obviously we've talked about what's going on in Columbus with Pierre-Luc Dubois. Rumors are circulating. Things are happening. If you were watching the game last night, you would have seen or heard Elliot Friedman say he doesn't expect anything to happen very soon. I just think it's getting blown out of proportion. I don't think Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to be a Columbus Blue Jacket in the foreseeable future, but we saw how long the Matt Duchene trade lasted, right?
Right.
I think this is an even much different situation, especially for the organization, in which Matt Duchene was expendable to a certain degree. They had Nate McKinnon. They had other options down the middle. Mm-hmm. What does Columbus have? I don't think Domi's a number one center, and Pierre-Luc Dubois is much younger and looks to be much more talented than Matt Duchene. So I don't think Jarmo Kekalainen is going to be that much in, like, he's not going to be in a rush, to say the least, but I don't really want to speculate on it more just because we don't really know anything. What I can say and what I do know, however, is what John Tortorella said about the situation. And I don't think we talked about it last time.
No, we did not.
Basically, Tortorella acknowledged that, yes, Pierre-Luc Dubois wants out, which baffles me, because when was the last time, like, you heard a head coach say, yeah, he wants out, like, just publicly? It's just crazy. But, and he kind of ends it by saying, I wish he would be more honest with us about why he wants out. And in saying that, to me, it seems pretty fucking obvious
that why it's, he wants
out. it's John Tortorella.
Yeah. I mean, the guy literally got upset. Well, he was upset, but he more or less forced that defenseman last season, I'm blanking on the name, to try to, like, get him to sign his fucking contract as fast as he can. He's just saying that he was a little upset that he hasn't sent any paperwork back. But, I mean, that's the type of guy John Tortorella is. But if he can go on air live and say, like, you know, that Dubois is not interested in staying here, then you know for a fact it's true. This dude isn't known to be a liar. He kind of just plays the ball where it lies, plays the puck where it lies. And I don't think Dubois is going to be sticking around. I'm not excited to hear anything about Montreal being involved in it.
Yeah, and I think, like, don't get it twisted. John Tortorella is a phenomenal coach, and I think his track record speaks for itself. He turns teams into winners. He brings teams to the playoffs. He gets the most out of guys. But John Tortorella's style of coaching is somewhat like a Mike Keenan for older listeners. It runs its course, and while that John Tortorella for the first 2 years is going to rile up the boys and get the locker room going and, you know, get the most out of his players, eventually that coaching style turns volatile.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if we're seeing the end of John Tortorella's days in Columbus, because we have now also got reports that him and Max Domi have been clashing. And you know more about this than I do, Corey, but if you want to comment on that.
Well, it's more of like, you know, just like a buzz around what's going on. I mean, Max Domi signs this, if I'm not mistaken, it's like a $9, $10 million contract. And if you look, you know, they play two games against Nashville. He's been very limited on the power play. First game, he had about a minute plus. Second game, he barely got a minute. It was actually like 57 seconds or whatever on it. He had 15 minutes of ice time the first game. No, I'm sorry, 12 minutes of ice time the first game, 15 the second. So it's a little low. It's understandable considering he's like a brand new guy. He's, you know, being fit in an organization that John Tortorella is the fucking mastermind behind. So he's going to make him work for his time. But at the same time, it's like for that much money, it feels like kind of a dump. You know, like you just paid this guy all this money and he's not getting ice time. I believe one game he registered one shot on goal. We've seen Max Domi. We know what to expect from his play. We know what he's capable of, and it almost feels like he's not getting his opportunity there. Now, granted, he might be just frustrated from play. He should be frustrated from his contract because he is being paid well, very fucking well. But I don't think it takes long for Tortorella to just, you know, rock the cradle on players. We've seen a lot of guys come into that organization, stay a year, 2 years, and then are out. It seems that Max Domi might be in that type of situation, but I'm also afraid that because of his high salary now, you know, do you spend your tenure there? Like, you're not going to get – I don't see too many teams picking Max Domi up for $10 million.
Max Domi's not making $10 million.
Great. I'm so happy you let me go on this tangent.
Well, you're not wrong. Like, sorry, he's making $10 million over 2 years.
Over 2 years, my bad.
So he's making 4.6 this year and then 6 million the next year.
All right. So I was just – his tenure being there is 10 million, you know. So, like, whatever. It's basically Pierre-Luc Dubois. It's pretty similar.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I thought I'd let you go because I think your point is still valid. I mean, he is getting compensated pretty well. I think that's a cap hit of like $5.7 million. So he's getting compensated for playing there. I don't know. It's just a weird situation. Yarmo seems to draft very, 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 very well. But we've seen in the past, I mentioned last week, that Columbus can't seem to hold on to their star players. But in saying that, I do think it's an interesting situation. I think it's a situation that I want to stay out of. If I was Mark Bergevin, I would stay away from the situation. I think it's volatile, and I think we have two young centers who are going to provide a lot to us in their future. And I think we have a very, very, very good center in Philip Deneau, who is only 27 years old, and who I think can provide a lot on both ends of the ice for us. So I just don't want to hear Montreal's name, like, named in the rumors anymore. I think it would be like a fairy tale kind of like story, like, you know, the French kid returns home number one center. But Pierre-Luc Dubois is not a transcendent talent. He is a star player in this league, but I do not see him being worth a Nick Suzuki, let alone Nick Suzuki plus. So I just want Mark Bergevin to stay away.
I haven't had a lot of time to really watch him. You know, I mean, you can only do so much with fantasy. Okay, wow, he gave you a point. You know, like, I'm not really watching Columbus games, but this is a, you know, a top 10 Calder pick possibility for his intro. He came in at 19. He's got four seasons in, but nonetheless, you're absolutely right. I don't know enough to just base him off of what he's capable of. He does have fantastic numbers as far as a young guy coming into this league, but the fact that this is being brought up, I think it's out of pocket. It scares me because this is scarily the type of shit Mark Bergevin would do. Just take this on. But I just think that he took in so much in the offseason that this just no longer is an option. And I'm glad it isn't, because the rumors on Twitter is it's not just Nick Suzuki. It's like a Nick Suzuki plus pick, or it's a Nick Suzuki plus Romanov. And I don't think that you waste that. Like, granted, Nick Suzuki was not brought up through our prospects. You know, he didn't go through our, you know, our talented pool that we have just waiting. He came over, he made an immediate impact, and we're riding with that. That was a great pickup of us. There's no reason for us to let go of that. But then Romanov, we're seeing greatness from him right now. He played two terrific games. He's got a monster shot. It's not the fastest thing in the world, but it's got some accuracy on it. So I'm excited to see more about him. But I just don't think that those two would be a good pairing to take in one guy who has decent offensive capabilities when we have a very stout Nick Suzuki who's got just as good of offensive capabilities just based on two games of play plus his playoff bubble. And then Romanov, who's just looking fantastic right now. So that's a no for me. It scares me every time it gets brought up. I don't know what else to say about it other than I don't think there's a Canadian fan out there that really wants this to happen.
I think there are quite a few that want it to happen, especially those who are all pro-Francophone. And you know what I mean, are bent on bringing the French back to Montreal. But I also think for what we would give up, and this will be my last comment on it, for what we would give up for Pierre-Luc Dubois, not only would it not be worth it, but he would not be able to play into the expectations of this fan base and of this market. We would give up so fucking much for Pierre-Luc Dubois that they would expect him to be the second coming of Connor McDavid.
And he's not.
And he's not.
Great player, but he's not going to – I love what you're saying.
They would eat him alive the same way they've eaten Drouin alive. Drouin had a three-point night opening night, and they still shat on him.
Yeah, he wasn't talked about much.
Yeah, all we gave up for him was Sergachev. Could you imagine if we gave up a legitimate future number one center plus a draft pick plus a prospect like Caden Gooley?
That's ridiculous.
Pierre-Luc Dubois would be run out of town.
Yeah. It's so much harder when it's two guys to one for a trade, because then you watch both of their – you know, these young kids are going to be something in this league. You're going to watch both of these kids go on to be something, and you're just sitting at one guy. And that guy's, you know, almost 30-goal season has got to bump up to a 50-goal season every season for us to not, you know, feel like we fucked ourselves. So I think we made enough acquisitions. I think we are a great team. Two games in, I don't want to see any fucking changes as far as trading. So let's move on from that. That subject just makes me fucking frustrated.
Yeah, and speaking of prospects, a guy who is no longer a prospect but a legitimate NHLer, full-time NHLer at that now, and someone who I've been raving about the entirety of my time doing this Habs Nightly podcast and for the last 4 years, seventh-round draft pick, former Notre Dame alum, Jake Evans, who scored a shorthanded goal last night on top of playing exceptionally well the entirety of the game.
I mean, I haven't seen much of Jake Evans. I watched this kid yesterday. He was knocked down a few times. He made a bunch of great recoveries. I haven't seen a lot. You know, I didn't follow him in college, but this kid was a legit factor last night. The fourth line was really pumping. It seemed like, you know, not to just move on from Jake Evans, but Josh Anderson comes in with that power forward move, looking like a new age Gordie Howe with the, you know, the protecting the puck. You see Byron try it. They're both very hard to knock off. Like, so like this fourth line was just buzzing. And the fact that Jake Evans gets a shorthanded goal, I completely forgot we were even on a PK because of how well we were playing in this game. But kudos to Jake Evans. I'm so glad he looked so amped up after that goal. It was like, you, if your bench sees a young kid like that, just like absolutely beautiful goal, and then it's just as fired up as that, I don't see your team not, you know, rallying around that, let alone we were just dominating that game.
Yeah, for sure. I think Byron showcased that he still has elite speed last night, especially on that one drive where he drove to the net, had it broken up by a phenomenal play by Tyson Barry, who I thought was legitimately Edmonton's best player last night, both offensively and defensively. I just thought he was phenomenal. And we saw the Tyson Barry of the Avalanche, not the Leafs, last night. By the way, why I picked him up in fantasy, fucking secondary assist for McDavid, gonna put me at number one. But look, that's besides the point.
He had that look. I'm kind of fumbling, but like he had a chance on to score a very strong goal. He fakes out, he moves a little bit more, and he's got a very solid shot. And the moment when he hesitated and everybody kind of fell for it, I was like, fuck, this is going to be the goal. You know, this is, it's no longer going to be a shutout. And I'm sure we'll get into that in a second, but Tyson Barry legitimately was the Edmonton Oilers last night.
Yeah, definitely. And there aren't many times where you can say McDavid got shut down. I think Montreal did a very good job of that. And, you know, I got to say that makes me pretty fucking happy, but it also terrifies me because every time McDavid gets shut down, the next game someone suffers, and it just happens to be us again tomorrow. So
yeah, and it just previously happened the other night. But you know what, I don't see the Habs not riding this high, even if it's a closer game, you know, the day you guys are listening to this. I still think that you don't come from a game like that of a team that's really just uniting and just go in and shit the fucking bed the next night. I think the intensity, maybe not as much goals, but I think that intensity is coming right back tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Moving on, because you mentioned it, Carey Price's shutout. Did you have something in mind about that?
Yeah, it's fucking unprofessional. I mean, like, this is a game. There's so many people that have superstitions, right? Why do you wait till like 5 minutes left in the fucking game or less than 10 minutes left to bring up a fucking possible shutout? Just don't speak of it. Don't speak of it at all. Like, cause you air it on fucking, you say it on air, and guess what the fuck happens? A shitty fucking goal goes in. Like, they took that from us. And I think it's a little fucked up. Like, yeah, we all see it. We all see he's having a stellar fucking night. You say that. You don't say, hey, he's 5 minutes from a fucking shutout. It just kind of rattled me because I was like, dude, like, I got him in fantasy. Like, more than just a fan. I'm like, I'm about to get an extra fucking point because he's just putting on a fucking clinic out there.
Yeah, no, it definitely frustrated me. I tweeted about it. I'm getting tired of it. Like, I don't know, even in the World Juniors, fucking, I love Ray Ferraro, but Ray Ferraro would say it all the time. He would actually say shutout too. It just pisses me off. But
I think that's just like one thing that, like, maybe broadcasters like in the, you know, in the locker room, it's like, don't drop the sweater, don't step on the logo. It's like broadcasters should definitely have shit they should not fucking say. That should be like sacrilegious, you know, like, don't bring up a fucking shutout.
Or in football, because I'm a Dolphins fan, but I cheer for the Ravens. When they go, too. Jason Tucker hasn't missed a field goal in 73 consecutive, and then he fucking misses it. Like, shut up.
I took so much shit when he missed a field goal against the fucking Saints. It was unreal.
And he's been so good.
Mm-hmm. He's just been a lights out kicker his entire career. But a little bit back onto this game, I really followed Romanov a lot harder this game. I just because of how well he played the first one. Just a moment that I noticed that really like kind of just showed just his skills. After the Petrie goal, there was some great forechecking. It's highly congested around the puck, but Romanov didn't give up. Like it was closer to the line. It was about to go out. He doesn't give up on it. He kind of just like flips a little chip back into the zone before the Oilers kind of congested around him. And I think it's just like it's little plays like that. Like he could have dumped it back, but then if no one's back there, that's a terrible move. You know, you're the last line of defense, and then you'd have Petrie scrambling to get, you know, to get down there. He just kind of dumps it back into our forechecking area, and it resulted in almost another goal. I think that's just a tremendous, you know, in a moment of just like I'm sure it would be stressed for anyone else, he finds a way to get it past players and get it back in our offensive zone.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't know if there were a lot of negatives I took away from that game, really.
I guess a good point about that game, and I didn't tweet it because, like, I don't want – you know, I'm fucking superstitious, so I was like, I don't want to tweet about it. But it's, like, it's so enjoyable when your team looks even better than they are when the other team that's supposed to be better than you is just playing just dog shit.
I don't think Edmonton was supposed to be better than us, though.
I get what you're saying, but, like, I just feel like – As far as offense, like they were just like, I don't know. They just couldn't find anything. And just beyond, not just like Carey Price, like they just looked like they just did not have it together in moments of that game. There were so many takeaways. Like we just, I don't know. We were just literally a unstoppable force.
Yeah, it was a pretty perfect game for Montreal.
And another goal in the power play is just amazing. And to have a shorthanded one at that, like, this is like, I don't want to say it, but like, this is like a fucking season's best game. Like, this is like mid-season tier, what you would expect of a team that's already loose and ready and playing together in solidarity. Like, yeah, it wasn't a moment where I was like, come on, you know, like
they were definitely playing like a team that's been together for much longer.
Also, Romanov had that like that drop pass, and I think it was to Tatar. But it was just sleek. It was kind of last minute, kind of caught Tatar off a little bit, but like you're behind him, you could see it, you could really accept it at that point. But I mean, he literally he was knocked down, he immediately pops back up, like, you know, within the same 40 seconds, you know, he's already moving with the puck down and makes that amazing pass that could have led to a possible hat trick by Tatar. But I guess enough Romanov talk for tonight. It's just phenomenal. It was a very phenomenal performance from the entire fucking team. I'm happy that the first line really kind of showcased that they're still the dominant, I wouldn't say the dominant line, but they're the first line for a reason right now, even if it's just 1A. I felt like they were a little, you know, shadowed in the first game. This one was all Thomas Tatar for the most part. I don't know. There's just not a lot of fucking negatives, dude.
No, I agree. Like you said, Thomas Tatar, what a fucking start for him. 3 goals already. On 3 shots. Looks like he can't miss right now. It's good to see he's riding hot. It'll be nice to see, hopefully, next game, KK and Gallagher getting on the board. But, you know, Gallagher, we know, is streaky. KK, his talent will shine through. So I'm not really worried about those guys. We're 2 games into the year, and I'm just excited to see if we see Jake Evans in net. Or not Jake Evans, sorry, Jake Allen in net for the game against Edmonton on Monday.
That would be – Okay. I even made a suggestion. I was like, I would be surprised if they even had if they even allowed Koskinen to finish the game after what was going on. He did, but it was just odd that they would talk about his backup, which I'm not even sure his name, to be honest with you. But he, they said he hasn't played an NHL game. And I was like, dude, he's about to get his minutes. Like Koskinen, I can't really fault him as much as I can just fault the entire team. It was just a bad night. But shit, I don't want to see Carey Price give up any games. But, you know, if we take a couple of games from Carey Price and he could play like that, like he did Saturday night, I mean, so be it, you know. And I guess one last thing before we wrap it up, Tyler Toffoli, a lot of people online are just criticizing the fuck out of this guy. I just want people to understand that there has to be a bit of patience. Like, yeah, he had two really good looks that if you don't like, you could have easily passed it back. It was a 2-on-1. It was a breakaway. Basically you pass it back to your partner. It's an easy goal. But at the same time, like, he took the shot. I'm not mad at him. I still think he's making great plays out there. It's just, it might take him some time to get used to it. I mean, he's on a third line with KK and Armia. It's going to take a little bit of time, but I don't think that he's not going to shine on this team.
Yeah, I definitely think that things are going to work out for him. He's making the right plays. He is getting open, and that's an important way to distinguish things. It's not like he's not doing anything. He's missing these chances because he's creating them. So that's a positive way of looking at it.
Right. Absolutely. And then one more note. Fucking Nick Suzuki putting that guy into the blender was just
iconic. That was awesome.
It was iconic. And how can you, as a fan of the Canadians, just think about trading him away? I'm sorry. You can be the francophone, whatever. This kid's just got style. This kid laid someone the fuck out. He had four hits last game. Like, he's awesome.
Yeah, I know, and that smoky smooth toe drag in the corner to send that Oilers guy flying face first, that was pretty dope.
I mean, that was possible. Like, the dude could have blew his knee out. Like, it was that tragic. But man, I'm folks, you know, we got a game tonight. Let's just look forward to it. Prepare. This was a great onlook as what we could possibly do to fucking Edmonton. You know, tonight, let's just be happy. We have a solid team and they're playing like they know what the fuck they're doing. Even Joel Edmondson had a monstrous hit. Looked like he was going to fucking smash the dude through the glass the other game. But, I guess we can close this out. Mason, I know you're not feeling too good. I want you to get some rest. So you rest up for this game and for our next talk. But, why don't you, if you got any last words and, send us on out, bud.
No, I just, don't be in a rush to trade our two potential star centers when we've been waiting for them for nearly 2.5 decades. And, you know, stay classy, guys. It's been Habs Nightly. I would say it's been fun, but I kind of want to just take a jackhammer to my head to make the pain go away. But, yeah, hopefully we'll be better. I'll be more upbeat. Corey and I will be able to go back and forth a little more by Wednesday, and on Thursday we'll have a nice new episode for you.
All right, you guys, as always, y'all have a great night. Go Habs. Please follow us on Twitter at Habs Nightly, Bayou Benders. Give us a 5-star rating, subscribe, and you guys have a great night.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.